This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen. Wa sallallahu wa sallam wa baraka ala abdihi wa rasulihi nabiyyina Muhammad wa ala alihi wa sahbihi ajma'in. Amma ba'd, ahlan wa sahlan wa marhaban bikum. I welcome our dear brothers and sisters in al-Islam. Ahlan wa sahlan wa marhaban bikum. We continue bi-ithnillahi ta'ala our explanation of the Hanbali text, Kitabu Furu'i al-Fiqhi, by the great Hanbali scholar of al-Islam, Yusuf ibn Abdul Hadi al-Hanbali rahimahullah. Ya Abdullah, Ya Amatullah, in our previous majalis, we've completed the chapters pertaining to Zakah, Siyam, walhamdulillah. We covered Tahara, we covered Salah. We now move on to the fifth pillar of Al-Islam, walhamdulillah. And what is that? That is the pillar of Hajj, inshaAllah. The author will discuss bi-idhnillahi ta'ala Hajj. He will also discuss Umrah, because according to the Madhab, Umrah is also an obligation, it is wajib. The author will discuss the acts of Hajj, the mahzurat of Ihram, what is impermissible while you are in the state of Ihram, the different types of Hajj, tamattu', qiran, and ifrad, insha'Allah. He will also discuss the slaughtering of the hadi, the animal that is slaughtered during the time of Hajj, the penalties that which apply. He will also discuss udhiyah, which you might slaughter in your country during the time of the second Eid, and also aqiqah. So you have a newborn kid in the home and we need to slaughter the aqiqah, insha'Allah. We begin. Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. وهو مشتمل على حاج وحج ومحجوج وأفعال فيه. That this section we will discuss, inshallah, the Hajj, the actual pilgrim, the one who does it. Who is the one that Hajj is an obligation upon? We will discuss. Number two, the actual act of Hajj, inshallah, the acts that you perform during Hajj, the Mahjuj, Baytullah, the house of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Af'al fihi, the different acts that you perform in this Hajj, insha'Allah. أما الحج فهو محل واجب فهو محل واجب وهو كل مسلم بالغ عاقل حر ومحل سنة وَهُوَ كُلُّ مُسْلِمُ مُمَيِّزْ عَاقِلْ. So the author discusses upon whom is this Hajj an obligation, and with regards to pilgrimage, upon whom is it a sunnah, insha'Allah. Let's see. Number one, وَهُوَ مَحَلْ wajib, with regards to it being an obligation upon every Muslim who is baligh, every Muslim who is mature, pubert. And so does this mean the kid who's 9 years old, not permissible to perform Hajj? No, it is permissible, insha'Allah. But it's not their fard Hajj. It's not an obligation upon them. It will be valid and counted from them, insha'Allah, as nafil, as sunnah, as a recommendation. The baby is 4 years old and the baby also performs the Hajj, insha'Allah. This will not be the Hajj of Al-Islam, but this Hajj is valid from them, insha'Allah. And the parents will be rewarded also. Aqil, you need to be aqil, you need to be sane. Hurrun, you need to be free. As for the slave, then Hajj is not an obligation upon him. But if he does it, it will be valid and counted from him, insha'Allah, as sunnah, as recommendation. Later on, when he gets his freedom, then he will need to perform his Hajj of Al-Islam, insha'Allah. The author does not mention istita'ah. We can add that in. Istita'ah meaning ability. You need to have the physical ability to perform the Hajj. You also need to have the financial ability to perform the Hajj. A person might be very strong, mashallah, but he's got no money. Hajj not an obligation upon him. Someone else might be the opposite. They have a lot of money, but they are old, they are frail, and they are unable to physically perform the Hajj. This individual can appoint somebody to perform the Hajj on his or her behalf, and that's exactly what they have to do. They have to appoint someone because they are unable to perform this Hajj, whether now, tomorrow, next year, they can't do it, and so they appoint a substitute, insha'Allah. Excellent. With regards to financial ability, you need to obviously have your zad and your rahila. Zad meaning your provisions for the journey, your provisions for staying in the Haramain, your means of transport to go and come back. Also, your family who remain behind here, you need to obviously provide for them, leave them provisions. So you need to have, you know, enough to cover all of that, inshallah. With regards to a female, then we can add in the extra that she requires a mahram. وَمَحَلُّ سُنَّةٍ وَهُوَ كُلُّ مُسْلِمٍ مُمَيِّزْ عَقِلٍ. As for a hajj, which will be regarded as a sunnah for you, then every Muslim who is mumayyiz meaning that you've reached the age of 7. In reality, according to the madhab, even the kid below the age of 7, if they perform the hajj, it will be regarded as a sunnah, as a nafil from them. You don't have to be 7 and above. Even below 7 will be counted, insha'Allah, as a nafil, as something that you will be rewarded for, insha'Allah. أَمَّا الْحَجِّ فَمِنْهُ وَاجِبٌ وهو حجة الإسلام وعمرته كذا المنذور كذا المنذور و right. As for the actual Hajj, what is the hukum with regards to it? Then it is wajib, it's an obligation. وَهُوَ حَجِّتُ الْإِسْلَامِ. His Hajj of Islam, this is the obligation. وَعُمْرَتَهُ, and also Umrah. According to the madhab, Hajj and Umrah are both obligations. Hajj is a pillar of Islam and it's an obligation. Umrah is not a pillar of Islam, but it is an obligation. وَكَذَا الْمَنْذُورِ. Somebody took a nadhar, made a nadhar. Wallah, if I pass my examination, I'm going to perform Hajj for your sake. Here you've made this an obligation upon yourself, and so you need to do it, inshallah. Excellent. And also we can add the qada hajj fasid. You know, a person might have gone for hajj and he made his hajj fasid. Why? Because he had intercourse with his wife before exiting the first exit of the state of ihram, before pelting the jamarat, before cutting his hair, etc. He had intercourse with the wife, and so the hajj is fasid, and so next year you have to perform a hajj. So if you made a nadhar, you've made it an obligation upon you, and if you made your hajj fasid because of intercourse before the first exit of the state of ihram, you need to perform the hajj next year, inshallah, an obligation. You have to do it next year. أَمَّا الْمَحْجُوجُ فَهُوَ الْبَيْتِ. And where do we make the hajj to? We make the hajj to the house of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. وَأَمَّا الْأَفْعَالُ فِي الْحَجِ. As for the actions, the rites of hajj, they are فَهِيَ أَشْيَاءَ أَحَدُهَا. Number one, الْإِحْرَامُ مِنَ الْمِيقَاتِ. This is now the sifatul hajj. How do you perform hajj? You need to enter the state of ihram from the miqat. وَأَلَّا يُجَاوِزَهُ غَيْرْ مُحْرِمٍ. And you need to not pass the miqat except that you are in a state of ihram. Take note that the state of ihram, this is not the two pieces of garment, this is a state. Whether you have the two pieces of garment or not, O brother, the state of ihram is the intention in your heart, and now you are in the state of ihram, inshallah. So you should not pass the miqat except that you are in a state of ihram, if obviously you want hajj and you want umrah, inshallah. With regards to the miqat, then we make our intention at the miqat, or before you're traveling by plane, so you know the plane's moving fast, and so you enter the state of ihram 5-10 minutes before, no problem, inshallah. وَأَلَّا يُجَاوِزَهُ غَيْرُ مُحْرِمٍ. And he should not pass it except in the state of ihram. This is for people who live beyond the miqat. People living in South Africa, people living in America, etc. Then you need to don the state of ihram, be in the state of ihram, you know, at the miqat, as you are passing the miqat. Then there's people who live in Mecca. For hajj, they enter the state of ihram from their homes. From their homes, inshallah. And then the third category of people who live between Makkah al-Mukarramah and the Miqat. So they live between these two places, like the people of Jeddah. Where do they don the ihram for their hajj? From their homes. From their homes will suffice. Miqatun zamaniyun. We have two types of miqat. One is the related to time. وهو الشوال وذو القعدة. ذو القعدة أو ذو القعدة, both of them are correct. وعشر من ذي الحجة. They are the month of Shawwal, the month of ذو القعدة, and the 10 days of Shawwal. These are the days of Hajj, inshallah. فلا تحرم قبله ولا بعده. And so you shouldn't enter the state of Ihram before these or after these. You shouldn't enter before them or after them, inshallah. If you did enter before, this is something which will makruh, but your hajj will be valid, inshallah. وَمِقَاتٌ مَكَانِيٌ. And as for physical places, you know, the places that you enter the state of Ihram, يختلف باختلاف البلدان. It differs based upon the various places that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam had set out, insha'Allah. As we mentioned, the afaqi is a person who lives beyond the miqat. Then you have a person dun al miqat, and this person enters the state of Ihram for his hajj from his home. And then you have the makki, with regards to hajj, enters the state of Ihram from his home. But the Makki, with regards to Umrah, he has to go to Tan'im. But the Makki, with regards to Umrah, he goes to Tan'im, or the closest place outside of the Haram boundaries. Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anha, she had gone to that masjid which today is called Masjid Aisha, the area of Tan'im, and she entered the state of Ihram there and performed her Umrah. But if you went anywhere outside the Haram boundaries, this would suffice, insha'Allah. وهو مخير في الإحرام بين التمتع بأن يحرم بالعمرة فإذا فرغ منها أحرم بالحج. You have three options. Number one, your تمتع. This is you enter your state of Ihram, then you perform a complete Umrah. After your Umrah, you exit the state of Ihram, and then later on you will enter the state of Ihram when the days of Hajj come upon you. Then there's Qiran. Qiran is that you enter the state of Ihram with the intention of Hajj and Umrah together. Hajj and Umrah together, insha'Allah. Remember that outwardly the Qiran and the ifrad, which is coming up, outwardly, you know, they are the same. Outwardly, they are the same, but the difference is in that with regards to Qiran, here you need to slaughter an animal. Here you need to slaughter an animal, whereas in ifrad, you do not need to slaughter an animal, as we will discuss, insha'Allah. Al-Ifrad, بأن يحرم بالحج مفردا. You make the intention that you are entering the state of Ihram to perform Ifrad Hajj. Only the Hajj, والحمد لله. والأفضل التمتع. And the best one, it is تمتع, insha'Allah. So again, تمتع, you enter the state of Ihram, you do an Umrah. After the Umrah, you exit the state. You in Makkah for maybe another week. Walhamdulillah, you can wear your normal clothes. Everything is permissible for you. And then when the days of Hajj come upon you, you enter the state of Ihram and you perform the Hajj. Walhamdulillah. As for Qiran and Tamattu, technically, outwardly, they are the same. In that you go to Makkah, you perform a tawaf. This is your tawaf of Qudum. Tawaf of Qudum. Or maybe you didn't do this. You went straight to Arafat, etc. Let's say you went to the Haram and you made tawaf of Qudum, insha'Allah. After this tawaf of Qudum, you could do your sa'i of Hajj. You can do your sa'i of Hajj, insha'Allah. And then later on, you know, the days of Hajj, you continue as normal, bi-idhnillahi ta'ala. And here you will get the reward of a Hajj and an Umrah if you did Qiran. But if you did Ifrad, you only get the reward of an Ifrad Hajj and nothing but the Hajj. Here there was no slaughter, etc. for Ifrad, but the slaughter applied to Qiran. Walhamdulillah. The author states, وَيُلَبِّي عِنْدَ الْإِحْرَامِ وَبَعْدَهُ. And you make your talbiya, labbaik allahumma labbaik labbaik la sharika lak labbaik innal hamda wan ni'mata lak wal mulk la sharika lak. You enter the state of ihram at the time when you are make your labbaik, etc., when you are entering your state of ihram, and after you enter the state, insha'Allah. Now the author moves on to that which is impermissible while you are in the state of ihram. Wa idha ahrama حرم عليه سبعة أشياء. Seven things are impermissible for him. أخذ الشعر والأظفار وتغطية الرأس. That clipping your hair, cutting your hair, clipping your fingernails, etc., and covering your head. These are all impermissible. According to the madhab, you can cover your face, oh brother. You can cover your face, but as for clipping your nails, as for clipping your hair, as for covering your head, these are impermissible. ولبس المخيط, and wearing normal clothes, impermissible. وشم الطيب, smelling these perfumes, etc. This is also impermissible. We're talking about this perfume. Why? Because you are not supposed to perfume yourself. You're not allowed to perfume yourself. والتطيب وقتل سيد البر. Also applying perfume upon yourself, upon your body, upon your ihram garment. All of this impermissible. وقتل سيد البر. and hunting game out in the wild. So this is a halal animal to eat. It's a halal animal to eat. It's a wild animal, and it's a land animal. It's a land animal, inshallah. It's a land animal. It's not something from the ocean. So this type of animal, it is impermissible for you to hunt it. Once you are out of the state of ihram, then you can hunt, inshallah. And so the author states, وَقَتْلُ سَيْدِ الْبَرِّ وَأَكْلُهُ, and eating of it, وَأَقْدُ النِّكَاحِ, making a nikah, you getting somebody else married, you involved in the nikah, you are the witness, etc. You yourself getting married, all impermissible. Can you propose to somebody? Yes, you can propose, no problem. وَفِي الرَّجَعَةِ خِلَافٌ وَالْوَطْءُ فِي الْفَرْجِ. And with regards to the raj'a, what is raj'a? Raj'a is the husband had divorced his wife once or twice. And so now he says to her, you know what, I take you back. We are back to normal. Walhamdulillah, I take you back. So the author stating that there is ikhtilaf with regards to this. Why? Because some scholars regard this like, a new nikah. But the correct position of the madhab is that raj'a is allowed. The husband, even while in the state of ihram, can say to his wife, I take you back, and they are back to normal. This is, just putting the nikah back together, inshallah, and not starting a new nikah. وَالْمَرْأَةُ كَالْرَجُلِ إِلَّا فِي لِبْسِ الْمَخِيطِ. And the woman is the same as the guy in the mahzurat of ihram, except that she wears normal clothes. وَإِحْرَامُهَا فِي وَجْهِهَا فَقَطْ. And her ihram, that which must be exposed, is her face, inshaAllah. وَمَنْ فَعَلَ مَحْظُورًا وَجَبَ عَلَيْهِ الْفِدْيَةِ. Whoever commits any of the mahzurat, any of the those matters impermissible while in the state of ihram, then the fidya is due from him. What is the fidya? You need to, number one, slaughter a sheep, or you need to slaughter a goat. And then if you don't want to do that, not unable, but rather if you don't want to do that, then you move on to the second option, which is that you feed 6 poor Muslims. And if you don't want to do this, then you fast 3 days, inshallah. So that's the fidya of adha. It's called the fidya of adha. وَهِيَ فِي 3 شَعْرَاتْ فَصَاعِدًا. And so the fidya applies to a person who cut off 3 hairs or more. 3 hairs or more, then you need to slaughter a sheep or a goat, or you need to feed 6 poor Muslims, or you need to fast 3 days if you cut 3 hairs or more. But what if I cut less than 3 hairs? I cut 1 hair, or I cut 2 hairs, inshallah. What happens in this case? The author states that وَفِيمَا دُونَ ذَلِكَ فِي كُلِّ وَاحِدٍ مُدْ طَعَامٍ. And with regards to each hair, there is a mud of food, a mud of ta'am that you need to give out in charity for each hair. So 2, then technically there's 2 muds, inshallah, and this is of bur, bi'idhnillahi ta'ala. So 1 mud each of bur for every hair that was cut off. Then the author states that وَفِدْيَةُ تَغْطِيَةِ الرَّأْسِ, and the fidya with regards to covering the head, وَلُبْسَ الْمَخِيطِ وَشَمْءَ الطِّيبِ دَمٌ. As for the penalty with regards to covering your head, wearing normal clothes, and smelling the perfume, then the penalty here, it is dam. It is the fidya of adha. You slaughter a cow or a sheep, or you feed 6 poor Muslims, or you fast 3 days. That's what you need to sort out, inshallah. وَفِدْيَةُ الْوَطْءِ بَدَنَهُ وَيَفْسُدُ بِهِ الْحَجِّ. As for intercourse between husband and wife, this is something which nullifies your hajj. This is something which makes your hajj fasid, Allah musta'an. And subhanallah, in this case here, you need to slaughter a badana. Badana is a camel. You need to slaughter a camel, Allahu musta'an. This is obviously if it was before tahallul al-awwal. If this was before tahallul al-awwal is the first exit from the state of ihram, where you either you pelted the jamarat and you had your hair shortened. You pelted the jamarat and you had your hair trimmed or shortened or shaved, etc. Now you are out of the state of ihram, the first exit. But if somebody had intercourse with his wife before the first exit, then the Hajj is fasid. The Hajj is fasid. Allahu musta'an. And the penalty is? The penalty is you need to slaughter a camel. Allahu musta'an. Allahu musta'an. Then the author states, وَيَحْرُمُ سَيْدُ الْحَرَمُ. Also the Sayyid, hunting animals, game. This is also not permissible within the Haram boundaries. So you might not be in the state of Ihram. You're visiting Medina al-Munawwara, you're not in the state of Ihram. But because you are within the Haram boundaries, there are certain matters which are impermissible. وَيَحْرُمُ سَيْدُ الْحَرَمُ. The game of the haram, they are impermissible for you to hunt. وَشَجَرُهُ. And also the trees, etc., of the which grow within the haram area, this is impermissible for you to cut down. We're not talking about trees and plants planted by human beings. No, we're talking about that which is natural, insha'Allah. وَكَذَلِكَ هُوَ وَكَذَلِكَ هُوَ مِنْ حَرَمِ الْمَدِينَةِ. Also, the same applies to the haram of Medina. إِلَّا مَا تَدْعُ الْحَاجَ إِلَيْهِ. Except there is a need for you to remove it, for you to remove this grass, for you to remove these trees. If there's a need, then inshallah, no problem, بِإِذْنِ اللَّهِ تَعَالَى. But with regards to the haram of Medina al-Munawwara, remember, there is no kafara which is due. So if somebody did commit one of these crimes in the haram of Medina, there is no kafara due from him, insha'Allah. وَيُسَنُّ أَنْ يَدْخُلَ مَكَّةَ مِنْ أَعْلَاهَا وَيَخْرُجَ مِنْ أَسْفَلِهَا وَيَدْخُلَ الْكَعْبَ مِنْ بَابْ بَنِي شَيْبَةَ. And it is sunnah that you enter the city of Mecca from the elevated area, Kada, and you exit after your Hajj, after your Umrah, from Kuda, Jayid, which is the lower region, the lower area. وَيَدْخُلُ الْكَعْبَةَ مِنْ بَابْ بَنِي شَيْبَةَ. And you enter into the Haram from the door of Banu Shayba. Bab Banu Shayba. Unfortunately, this year has been removed when they did the reconstruction and the expansion of the Haram. وَيَبْدَأْ بِالْبَيْتِ فَيَطُوفْ بِهِ سَبْعًا. You make tawaf around the Kaaba 7 times. ثُمَّ يَسْعَى سَبْعًا. And then you go between Safa and Marwa 7 times. ثُمَّ يَحْلِقْ وَيُقَصِّرْ. And then you shave your head or you trim your hair. ثُمَّ قَدْ حَلَّ إِنْ كَانَ مُتَمَتِّعًا. And now you are out of the state of Ihram. You are now halal, etc. If you intended to make a tamattu' type of hajj. فَإِذَا كَانَ يَوْمُ التَّرْوِيَةِ. So now we are discussing the Sifatul Hajj. On the day of the 8th of Dhul Hijjah, أحرم بالحج ثم صعد إلى عرفة. He entered the state of Ihram and then he eventually went to Arafat, insha'Allah. The author doesn't mention the 8th because the 8th is Sunnah, insha'Allah, to be in Mina. That is the best thing to do. ثم صعد إلى عرفة فوقف بها يوم عرفة. And so then one goes to Arafat and one stands there, one is there. The wukuf at Arafat doesn't mean you have to be standing. You can be sitting, no problem, inshallah, but you need to be at Arafat. ثُمَّ يَدْفَعُ بَعْدَ غُرُوبِ الشَّمْسِ. After the sun sets, then you leave for Muzdalifa. ثُمَّ يَأْتِي الْمُزْدَلِفَ وَيَأْخُذْ حَصَى الْجِمَارِ مِنْهَا. And then you pick up your stones for pelting here at Muzdalifa. ثُمَّ يُسْبِحُ بِمَعْشَرْ. And then around the time of Fajr, you go to the Ma'ashar. Around the time of Fajr, you go to the ثُمَّ يُسْبِحُ بِمَعْشَرْ بِمَشْعَرْ بِمَشْعَرْ بِمَشْعَرِ الْحَرَامِ. مَشْعَرِ الْحَرَامِ. This is the area where the masjid is today. The masjid in Muzdalifa, that area there is called Mash'ar al-Haram. And so if you remained in Muzdalifa up to the time just before sunrise, you should go to Mash'ar al-Haram and make a lot of dua, insha'Allah. And then you begin your movement out. This is now when the around the time of sunrise, inshallah. So you leave before sunrise, you perform your Salatul Fajr, in Muzdalifa, and before sunrise you start moving out, inshallah. وَيَرْمِ الْجِبَارِ. And you pelt the main jamarat on the day of Eid. وَيَحْلِقْ أَوْ يُقَصِّرْ. And then you shave your head or you trim your hair, inshallah. ثُمَّ يَفِيضُ إِلَى مَكَّةَ فَيَطُوفُ وَيَسْعَى. Then you go to Mecca and you perform your tawaf of Hajj and your sa'i of Hajj. ثُمَّ يَرْجِعُ إِلَى مِنَى وَيَرْمِي بَقِيَّةِ الْأَيَّامِ. And then you come to Mina and you stay in Mina for those nights, the 10th, the nights of Mina, which are the 11th, the 12th, you remain there in Mina, insha'Allah. You remain in Mina. And if you want to stay the 13th, then you can stay the 13th also, insha'Allah. And that's recommended. That is a sunnah. ثُمَّ يَرْجِعُ بَعْدَهَا إِلَى مَكَّةَ فَيَطُوفُ لِلْوَدَاءِ. And then every day of those days of Mina, you pelted the Jamarat after Zawal, according to the Madhab. After Zawal, according to the Madhab. And then eventually, when you left Mina, then you go to Makkah, you make your tawaf, and this is your tawaf of Wada', and you make your farewell, walhamdulillah. ثُمَّ يَخْرُجُ. And then you exit. وَيَزُورُ بَعْدَهُ قَبْرَ النَّبِيِّ صَلَى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمَ وَصَاحِبَيْهِ رَضِيَ اللَّهُ عَنْهُمَا. And then it is good that you go to Medina al-Munawwara, you visit the masjid of the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم, you visit the grave of the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم, and you send salawat upon our Rasul Habib Muhammad Mustafa صلى الله عليه وسلم. Walhamdulillah. وأركان الحج. As for the pillars of Hajj, they are, number one, you need to be at Arafat. Number two, you need to do your tawaf of Hajj. Number three, your state of ihram. And number four, you need to make sa'i between Safa and Marwa. As for the wajibat of Hajj, they're not on the level of the pillar, but they are wajib. If you leave them out, then you need to slaughter a sheep or you need to slaughter a goat, insha'Allah. Ihram from the miqat. So not ihram after the miqat, but rather ihram from the miqat or just before the miqat, insha'Allah. This is wajib. If somebody passed the miqat and he was asleep and they drove 1 hour, masha'Allah, they passed the miqat, he has not entered the state of ihram. What does he do now once he awakes? One of two things. He either goes back to the miqat and enters the state of ihram there, or continues the journey and will need to slaughter a goat or a sheep, insha'Allah. والوقوف إلى الليل. And to be at Arafat for a portion of the night. To be at Arafat for a portion of the night, this is something which is wajib. According to the madhab, as opposed to most other schools of jurisprudence, according to the madhab, if somebody comes to Arafat at 9 a.m. in the morning on the day of Arafat, he's caught Arafat. Other scholars said, no, the wukuf only starts after Zawal. The Hanbali said, no, it starts earlier than that. It starts earlier than that. And so somebody coming to Arafat at 8 o'clock in the morning and then he leaves Arafat, technically he has fulfilled that pillar of Hajj, walhamdulillah. Excellent. But it's wajib to be at Arafat a portion of the night. So that's the best thing. You know, permissible or rather would be valid from you before Zawal, and the recommendation is that you are there after Zawal and a portion after Salatul Maghrib, insha'Allah. Excellent. The author then states, وَالْمَبِيتَ بِمُزْدَلِفَ إِلَى بَعْدَ مُنْتَصَفِ اللَّيْلِ إِلَى بَعْدَ نِصْفِ اللَّيْلِ. Your night at Muzdalifa, you should remain there minimum after midnight. After midnight, then you can leave, insha'Allah. But at least you should be there up to the point of midnight, insha'Allah. والمبيت بمينة. And staying the nights in Mina, this is something which is wajib. What is meant by staying there the night? Majority of the night, insha'Allah. Wal-rami, this is pelting of the jamarats. Wal-hilaq, shaving of your hair or trimming of your hair. Wal-tawaful wada, the final tawaf, this is also a matter which is wajib. Walhamdulillah, masha'Allah, tabarakallah. Ya Abdullah, ya Amatallah. وأركان الأمرة, أركان of the Umrah, pillars of the Umrah, insha'Allah. Just like the Hajj, except that there's no Arafat mentioned. Excellent. So we need tawaf, we need ihram, we need sa'i fi awanihi. Sa'i fi awanihi meaning sa'i after your tawaf, insha'Allah. You don't just go and make sa'i. Sa'i has to come after a tawaf, insha'Allah. وواجبها الحلاق في أوانه. And that which is wajib is that you have your hair trimmed or cut, etc., or shaved. You have your head shaved after this, insha'Allah. فَمَنْ تَرَكَ رُكْنًا لَمْ يَتِمَّ نُسُكُهُ إِلَّا بِهِ. Whoever leaves out a pillar, then his pilgrimage is incomplete. وَمَنْ تَرَكَ وَاجِبًا جَبَرَهُ بِدَمْ. And whoever leaves out a wajib action, then what will be required is that he has to slaughter a sheep or a goat. You left out a wajib, you need to make dam. What is this? You need to slaughter a sheep or a goat, insha'Allah. Now the author moves on to the matters pertaining to udhiyah, insha'Allah. But just before that, remember, with regards to With regards to the day of Arafat, with regards to the day of Arafat, you have 24 hours to be at Arafat. So on the day of Arafat, which is the 9th, from the time of after Salatul, from the time Salatul Fajr, right up to Salatul Fajr the following day, this is 24 hours that you can be at Arafat. Generally, we know that the night comes first and then the day, except this one night here. Generally, the night comes first, the night of Friday comes first, and then the Friday, except on the day of Arafat. The day of Arafat, the night which occurs after Maghrib, it follows the day before it and not the day to come after. So it follows Arafat. So we woke up this morning, mashallah, and it is the day of Arafat. Maghrib time, it's not now the Eid. No, no, no. For the Haji, it's still Arafat. It's the night of Arafat and continues giving him time to go to Arafat, inshallah, up to the Fajr of the next day, inshallah. وَتُسَنُّ الْأُضْحِيَةِ مِنْ بَهِيمَةِ الْأَنْعَامِ And Udhiya is something which is recommended. So it's recommended. It's not wajib. It's not wajib. It's not an obligation like other schools of jurisprudence. And also, one animal per household suffices, insha'Allah. وَعِنْدِي مِنْ غَيْرِهَا نَعَمْ As for our author, Yusuf ibn Abdul Hadi, he is of the opinion that udhiya can be slaughtered with a chicken, udhiya can be slaughtered with a cat, etc. Not cat, subhanAllah. Udhiya can be slaughtered with a... Udhiya can be slaughtered with any halal animal. Not a cat. You can't eat the cat. Allahu musta'an. Udhiya, according to our author, you can slaughter a chicken. You can slaughter other types of animals which are halal. You can slaughter a rabbit. You can slaughter a rabbit for udhiya according to our author. And this is something that other scholars state is shadh. This is something which is unacceptable. This opinion, not a valid opinion according to other scholars. So the author states, وَعِنْدِي مِنْ غَيْرِهَا And according to me, you can slaughter any other halal animal. Doesn't have to be from the cows and the sheep and the goats and the bull, etc. No, camel doesn't have to be that. Could be a chicken, could be a rooster, it could be a rabbit according to the author. And we disagree with him on that. Wal aqiqatu anil jariya, the author states with regards to a sheep, it needs to be minimum age of 6 months. وَثَنِيَّ غَيْرِهِ And ثَنِيَّ with regards to, example, a cow, ثَنِيَّ of the cow would be its minimum age is 2 years. ثَنِيَّ with regards to a goat, minimum age of 1 year. صحيح من سائر العيوب يوم العيد بعد الصلاة إلى آخر يومين من أيام التشريق And these animals that you are slaughtering, they should be free from these major defects. And you have 2 days. You have 2 days of slaughter after the day of Eid. So you have the 10th, the day of Eid, and then you have the 11th and the 12th, inshallah, not the 13th. According to the madhab, not the 13th. Other schools of jurisprudence allow slaughtering even on the 13th. The Hanbalis say, no, you got the 10th, you got the 11th, and you got the 12th. Walhamdulillah. وَيَتَصَدَّقُ مِنْهَا It is a must that from your udhiya, you slaughtered this udhiya at your home, mashallah, it is a must, that a portion of it, that you give it away in charity, etc. You give it away to friends, family, and the best thing to do is divide it into 3 portions. First portion for yourself and your family, second portion for family and friends, and the third portion for the poor and the downtrodden and the destitute, inshallah. وَالسُنَّةُ أَكْلُ الثُّلُثِ And the sunnah is that you keep 1/3, وَإِهْدَاءُ الثُّلُثِ وَالتَّصَدُّقُ بِثُلُثِ You keep 1/3, you give away to family and friends 1/3, and you give to the poor 1/3, inshallah. وَمَنْ أَرَادَ أَنْ يُضَحِي فَلَا يَأْخُذْ مِنْ شَعْرِهِ وَلَا بَشَرِهِ شَيْئًا Whoever intends to slaughter an animal, he must not trim his nails, must not trim his hair, etc. This is something which is impermissible. فَلَا يَأْخُذْ مِنْ شَعْرِهِ وَلَا بَشَرِهِ شَيْئًا No hair, no trimming of the nails, no trimming of the mustache, etc. This is something that you should not do from the beginning of the month of Dhul-Hijjah. From the beginning of the month of Dhul-Hijjah, you shouldn't do this. Only after you slaughter, then you can, inshallah. Also, it says that it is haram. It is haram to trim. It is haram to clip your nails. And as many have stated, this is from the mufradat of the madhab. This is something peculiar, specific only to the Hanbalis and not others. Others might say it's makruh to trim. Others might say it's permissible. But the Hanbalis state that it is haram. Wal aqiqatu anil jariyati sha wa an ghulam shatani. That we slaughter two goats or two sheep for the guy, for the boy baby, and one for the girl, insha'Allah. Then the author states, يُذْبَحُ يَوْمْ السَّابِعِ. On the seventh day we slaughter this. The day of birth is counted as the first day. The day of birth counted the first day. So if the kid was born on Friday, then Friday is the first, second, third. Friday is the first. Then we have Saturday, Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday. Following Thursday will be the seventh day. That's when we slaughter, insha'Allah. Walhamdulillah. كَالْأُضْحِيَةِ إِلَّا أَنْ يُطَّبَخَ أَجْدَالًا وَيُطْعَمْ. That all the rules with regards to aqiqah are similar to udhiyah, except that, أَنْ يُطَّبَخَ أَجْدَالًا وَيُطْعَمْ. That with regards to the other animals, then you could give the people the food, the meat, but with regards to aqiqah, the recommendation is that you prepare it, you invite people and you participate and you partake with them and you have the meal together, insha'Allah. That is what is recommended. Also, it is dislike that you break any of the bones of this animal. You break any of the bones of this animal. This is mimbab al-fa'al, that, don't break the bones of the animal, cut at the area of the joints. Why? Because, this is like, we want to have like a good omen, insha'Allah. This animal is for this child and, we don't want to break any bones, insha'Allah. Having like a good omen that the salama and the salama of the animal will be similar to the salama of the child, insha'Allah. Salama meaning free from error and defect. Wallahu ta'ala a'lam. And with that, we have concluded Kitab al-Hajj, the matters pertaining to Hajj. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to make it easy for all those who have not perform the pillar of Islam, which is this Hajj, that they have not done it. We ask Allah to make it easy for them, insha'Allah. We ask Allah to open up His doors of mercy for them so that they are able to perform this once in a lifetime journey, subhanAllah, that they perform this Hajj, this international conference of Muslims. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to bless us all. We ask Allah for the best in this world and in the hereafter. Until we meet again, hadha wa sallallahu wa sallam wa baraka ala abdi ورسوله نبينا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين. السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته.